Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 11.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Chapter 21. A New Master. Tom stood nervously in the waiting area with Clarence and Hector. They had been summoned to Corey's office earlier that afternoon. Outside, they had chattered amiably between themselves, Clarence constantly rubbing his plaster cast while trying to find out information.
You know why we are here, Dr. Garrett?
Tom shrugged. He had no idea why they had been dragged from their tasks, but he was convinced it was to do with Seth.
I know as much as you do, which I take is not an awful lot.
He returned his gaze to the office doors on the other side of the lobby. Sarah had left them a few minutes ago to check when they would be seen. Tom glanced at his watch. They'd been waiting for over an hour. Suddenly, the intercom buzzed.
Gentlemen, please make your way into the office. Corey will be with you shortly,
Sarah said. Tom stood and led the way, opening the tall wooden door for the other two to enter. Inside the room, it seemed like a library, still and quiet, with the expectation that all who visited should be the same. It was late afternoon, but the heat of the midsummer sun could still be felt, even though the windows were covered to stop the light getting in. The room was spacious, with the occasional piece of furniture dotted around it. There were soft chairs beside a coffee table, and at the centre, a huge, dark wooden desk. The size of it took Tom by surprise as he looked at it. It was bigger than the tables he had sat around during full department meetings. The dark wood of the desk added to the gloomy feel within the office. The air was filled with the aroma of leather and a musky smell he struggled to put his finger on. The massive desk was lit only by the sporadic shards of light bouncing off its surfaces when the drafts caught the blinds covering the windows. Tom jumped up at the sound of a door clicking. He turned to see Corey, a tall, white-haired man with his customary cane, enter the room from the door on the left. His assistant closely followed him, Sarah. The gold-topped cane clacked on the hard tiled floor as Corey crossed the room, then took the seat behind the grand wooden desk.
Good afternoon, gentlemen,
Corey said with a smile, though Tom didn't feel any welcome from his tone.
I thank you all for coming to see me at such short notice, and I'm grateful you have agreed to take time away from your day to discuss the man called Seth Goodman, who is currently sleeping off the effects of an energetic session you two put him through this morning.
Tom glanced at the man beside him, who seemed pleased with the comment.
I am sure you are all keen to continue your interrogations.
There was a hesitation. Tom didn't feel the question required an answer, as the smiles on the eager faces of the two men should have been enough of a response.
Come now. Surely my arrival hasn't left you struck dumb, has it?
He asked.
Agent Harvey, your reputation precedes you. I am sure Dr. Garrett will be eager to understand what it is you're intending to do.
Tom wasn't sure he wanted to know what they intended to do. He had already witnessed the after effects and could guess with a high degree of certainty what they had been doing. He heard Harvey clear his throat.
Now our interrogations have begun in earnest. He won't be able to hold out for long. Then you will have the information or he'll be dead from our questioning.
His hand moved to touch the broken arm he had received. Tom noticed a smile touch Hector Bullen's lips. He assumed the thought of ending Seth's life was something he looked forward to.
I do not want him dead, you idiot. I want him broken.
Corey leaned forward, then rested his chin on his steepled fingers as he stared intensely at each of the men in front of him.
Your instructions are clear. He is to be tortured, both psychologically and physically, until I tell you to stop.
A crackle of energy shot up Tom's spine as the hairs on his body seemed to stand to attention under Corey's gaze.
I'm not interested in anything you get from him in the way of information. There is nothing he knows that I do not. But I want him broken. That is your goal in this, gentlemen.
Both Hector and Clarence bowed their heads in agreement, but Tom narrowed his eyes in thought. None of what was happening was making any sense to him. In truth, he felt it was barbaric to hold this man for no reason he could discern, to then torture him for no better motive than Corey wanted him broken seemed wholly unreasonable. Hector interrupted the silence.
We will make sure he feels the pain he needs to fulfill your requirements.
Tom's mind was racing now. Why were these two men so eager to carry out this instruction? He couldn't understand it.
I notice you have some doubts, Tom.
Tom flinched back again at the intensity of the stare from his employer, but in his mind, he was trying to work out what was happening. Tom Garrett prided himself on his ability to solve a problem. In fact, he had commendations for his efforts in solving difficult cases from medical school. His instincts told him that this white-haired man in front of him was not all he seemed.
You are an exceptional doctor, I understand, Tom.
The men either side of him looked sheepish. Harvey scanned around the room, more for something to do rather than, it seemed, acknowledge the growing tension gathering around them.
How are your wife and son, Clarence?
Harvey looked up from examining the floor, then cleared his throat.
They are well, thank you, sir. I spoke with Karen last night. Clarence Jr. is getting set for his first softball tournament.
This is a change of subject,
Tom thought.
He's trying to control the situation.
This wasn't any major surprise to Tom, as he hadn't felt in control from the first moment Corey entered the room.
My work takes me away too often,
Clarence continued.
My government are less than accommodating in these circumstances, though I know my duty, so I can't complain,
he smiled.
Though my wife tends to do enough of that for both of us.
Corey nodded and let out a sigh.
And Agent Bullens, I'm sure you more than most are keen to conclude this business.
Hector smiled in agreement but said nothing.
It is a terrible shame, though. Such a lovely family you had, and a beautiful life.
He left the comment hanging in the room, and Tom glanced at the other two men with a confusion he knew must be written all over his face.
The things Seth did to them were horrific. He is truly a monster.
Again, no one spoke.
Hector, I can empathize with your loss, given the number of people who have also suffered at the hands of the man but a few floors beneath us,
Corey said.
Yes, it must feel raw to you still, having to look at the man who took your family away from you. It must pain you greatly.
Hector nodded again as a tear rolled down his cheek. Tom was now dumbfounded. What was happening here? He couldn't work out. He knew Hector's family were well, as he had visited his house 2 weeks ago. Now, as the man spoke about them, he appeared hollow, like all his hopes and dreams had left him. It was clear the loss he was being told of was real to him.
Perhaps it would serve you well to remember the atrocities he has committed not only to you, but also to all those I have told you about,
Corey added. Tom was on the brink of responding, as he was certain they had never spoken of such things. In fact, this was the first time he heard anything like this.
And my dear Agent Harvey, your son, such a sweet boy who was caught up in something which wasn't his fault.
Tom looked to Harvey, who he could see was nodding along in agreement.
Wait a second.
He couldn't hold his tongue any longer.
Clarence, you've just said your boy is playing his first softball game.
He stared at the man quizzically.
What's going on here?
Harvey shot him a look of horror.
My son is dead. My wife and I laid him to rest before I was assigned this mission. I told you this.
Corey raised his hand. Hector and Clarence both looked towards him, with Tom following their gaze, feeling bewildered.
Go wake our guest. Perhaps you can make him understand your grief and the pain he has inflicted upon you.
They had apparently been dismissed, so they turned and began to head out of the door. Tom decided he was going straight back to his car and getting out of this madhouse.
Dr. Garrett, if you could wait, I'd like to speak with you privately for a moment.
Garrett hesitated for a second before turning on his heels to return to where he had just left. The other two continued, not noticing he was no longer with them. Corey shuffled around his desk, then moved to the windows and stood looking at the blinds, as if he could see straight through them to the world outside.
I have noticed you have questions forming in your mind, Tom.
He turned to regard him.
Questions are fine, but only if the answers you seek provide clarity. Unfortunately for you, any answer to your questions will only bring further confusion.
Garrett opened his mouth to reply, but Corey held up his hand to stall the response.
There are some things in this world beyond comprehension to those without the proper knowledge, and what I'm about to tell you falls into this category.
Slowly he turned, his cane clicking a couple of times as he headed to the front of his desk, then sat on the edge facing Tom.
You see our prisoner, and you are unsure of the motives behind my requests, or the reason for his torture. Is that right?
Tom nodded.
I thought as much. You see, Tom, you and Seth share something in common. This makes you both a little special, as well as irritating to me at the same time. I like solving problems, like you, but I also expect the world to comply with my desires. Seth has a gift, and I'd like to control it. I don't need the information. I need him.
A smile touched the old man's face as he seemed to gaze through him as though remembering another time.
Like you, he resists my attempts to control his mind. He is better than you are at defying my will, which is why you are still standing where you are now.
He paused. Tom tried to digest the information. It sounded like madness, but he found he was compelled to continue listening, even though, inside, he was screaming to turn and run.
I like control. I've become excellent at it over the years. But every so often I find a mind, like yours, which requires a little nudge in the right place to open it up completely. I've been watching you, and have concluded that you are not fully compliant with my suggestions.
He again stopped speaking as he waited, it seemed, for Tom to catch up. Looking back at Corey, Tom could feel the urge to leave, but couldn't quite get his body to listen.
So, as I need your services, I have decided to give your mind a prod to break down the walls you have built to stop me gaining the control I expect.
Tom felt fear building inside him. He once again begged his legs to move. He felt his foot lift as he started to turn, but a voice stopped him dead. He knew that voice. He turned back to see his wife, Kathy, being held by Seth in front of him. Panic filled his mind as he watched the man draw a knife from his belt before slowly pulling the point down her cheek, leaving a trace of blood behind from where he had cut. He instantly made towards the man to save his wife, but nothing happened. He felt hands gripping his arms from the side and turned to see two masked men holding an arm each. Tom struggled to remember when these men had entered the room, but they were here now, and he found he couldn't move a muscle. He watched in horror as Seth licked the drops of blood from the blade as he grinned back at him.
I know you want to save her, Dr. Garrett.
Seth spoke to him with an air of smugness that instantly stoked the anger inside.
I would normally allow you to fight for this life, but on this occasion, I believe the expression on your face as I slit her throat will give me immense pleasure.
Tom struggled against the men holding him, but to no avail. He stared over to see Corey watching him with interest.
It's amazing the tricks your mind will play on you, isn't it, Doctor?
He asked.
There you are, fighting two men who have no identity, and you can't quite place where they came from. It is a wonderful tool, and so much fun to play with.
Corey let out a little chuckle, then returned his attention to Tom's wife.
Please! Corey, stop him!
Tom pleaded as he watched Seth take his wife's long brown hair into his fist before yanking her head back to expose her slender throat. Tom remembered all the times he had kissed her soft neck and fought again to be released from the men holding him. Time stood still as Tom screamed. The knife cut deep, with blood erupting instantly from the wound left behind. Kathy didn't struggle, but tears filled her eyes, then rolled down her cheeks as Seth smoothly sliced across her neck. Then it was over. Tom felt an emptiness inside him as he watched her drop to the ground. She hadn't uttered a single word during the entire ordeal. An unshakable bravery was something she had always had, and even in this circumstance, she maintained an air of dignity. A pool began to form on the white tiles around her as the gurgle of her breathing began to slow. Then it was over. Kathy, his rock of 10 years, was dead. He didn't need to check to know this was the truth. Tom's resolve hardened. He looked up from his wife to meet the eyes of the man who had done this horrific thing to the woman he loved more than anything else.
"I will kill you!"
he screamed, determination filling his voice.
"Dr. Garrett, I'm sure you think you will. However, this is not the right time."
He bent down to where Kathy was lying at his feet, raised her head, exposing her neck, then slowly dragged her across the floor towards the door. The sight of his wife's lifeless body trailing swathes of her blood behind her shattered Tom. The anger which was building suddenly gave way to a bottomless grief. The men beside him disappeared, and he felt his legs buckle, but held himself upright, unable to stop watching as Seth pulled his wife like a suitcase behind him.
"That's better."
Tom heard the words, but his mind was now clouded with the last moments of Kathy's life.
"Dr. Garrett, it's a terrible thing to have witnessed the brutal slaughter of your own wife. You can surely appreciate why we must break Seth, for he will only continue to rob people of their loved ones. I empathize with your terrible loss and can only imagine the pain you feel at the memory of what he did."
Tom looked back from Seth to Corey. His anger swelled in his heart, drowning out the once endless grief. He was now eager to ensure this monster was kept alive so he could watch him suffer.
"It was all so long ago, Dr. Garrett. I'm sure you have put it behind you and dedicated yourself to your work."
Tom nodded and felt the pain disappear. The anger and loathing he had felt for Seth moments earlier left him as a determination to succeed at all costs replaced it. He knew even if he had to be polite to this man, he would make sure he was kept alive. With a nod towards the door from Corey, he turned and strode toward it.
"Thank you, Corey,"
he said as he left the room. Corey glanced down at the empty floor. A smile crossed his lips as a feeling of satisfaction filled him. He always enjoyed the way people completely crumbled under his will. The human mind was such a clever tool to use when he needed to create images. Hopefully, Seth would break soon. Then he could take the ultimate joy from knowing that he had finally gained control of the one who had eluded him for so long.